boys, Michael and Chad. We here. Match day 25. Everyone's on the level. Same match day now. No games in hand. No crazy, like, you're close, but you're not close.
Yeah, what's going to happen with that extra game in hand? Well, it happened.
It happens. And it... Without getting too far into it, it was a great watch as a neutral.
I bet it was. And I got so many questions on what you thought of different situations, not just from that game, but just the double on the weekend and the mass amount of games that we've had in the last 2 weeks as far as the Cup, Champions League, EPL. It's been 15 days since we've truly have kind of talked about it. Like, we've been busy boys. We haven't really even texted that much about what's going on in the league. Not saying it's stagnant, but just kind of saving it for this meeting here. So with that, Son of Juice today.
Son of Juice, a classic. Well, sticking with classics, just a homemade G&T for me. So.
G&T. No Gin Ricky? Too many of those last night.
You know, it's the carbonation on that. Gets a little crazy for me, so.
Checks out.
Yeah, they're good, but stick with the classic tonight.
Fair enough. All right, Chad, jumping in, Everton-Liverpool, yep. Just because that's the game Half. That was in hand since, what, mid-December, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Am I disappointed? Strong word. Happy to come away with another point to further our lead from second, right? That's how I looked at that. Positive outcomes here. Mm-hmm. Did I think that game was scrappy? Oh, absolutely. Do I think Liverpool probably should have got away with a win? Maybe. That game was controversy on all sides in terms of fouls and cards and who should have been where. Yeah. Michael Oliver, man, just... Can we just give him a round for this year?
He's a real star, that one.
Anthony Taylor has taken the back seat here and said, hey, man, like, honestly, I'm going to let you... Anthony Taylor has been quiet compared to Michael Oliver in some of these matchups and games. The EPL not helping in any way when they're showing Doku kicking McAllister in the chest saying, this is what you need to rule out as a red card and funny. I don't know if that's still on the web. I think it got so much backlash on the website. It's not there anymore.
I would hope they took it down. I don't know though.
Yeah. For context, it was showing a violent play, but in that play, no card was given. So I'm pretty sure Michael Oliver was at, oh no, that was that, I think that was an Anthony Taylor move, but whatever.
It might've been. But...
Michael Oliver has been the headlining officiate this year that we've all just been scratching our heads at. And, you know, for this game, on that last goal that Tarkowski just blasted into the net, I feel like there was a lot going on where VAR looked at key moments, and I do think Konate got fouled on that play. I do. I think he got a push. We've seen things come back for less. We've also seen things given for more. So it was just like if I'm going to nitpick at anything, it's that right there. And the fact it was like the last kick of the game too, just...
Yeah.
You know, added salt to the wound. Everton's kind of been this bogey team for Liverpool now, but also for everyone else, okay? They're, like, leading the league in points after the Moyes signing. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, this one is even, like, more just written in the stars of, you know, the last derby at Everton's current stadium. Yep. You know, it's already a derby between... two very close, you know, in proximity rivals that, you know, form just kind of doesn't matter in those games. And Everton was always going to be up for it, being the last one. Like, crowd was going to be behind them. So it was always going to be a just scrappy, crazy, weird game. You know, almost had the same craziness that if they would have played in the storm that postponed the first one. Like, it probably would have been a similar outcome. But, I mean... I think you're right. Like, the push on Konate was right in that middle. I feel like it wasn't like excessive, but it wasn't not a push.
You're right. So, it wasn't not a push.
I don't know. I don't feel like it should have been called back, but I don't also feel like it, you know, was completely fair.
it just wasn't looked at enough for me. They looked at the offside.
Yeah.
They checked other parameters of the play, but that one, at least from our point of view, didn't seem like it got much of a look. And I was like, oh, I said in the Discord, I was like, foul, like easy. Yeah. I was like, there it is. And then it kind of got skipped over. But I saw that at the initial replay of it. That was the first thing that I caught. I wasn't even thinking about all the possible offside and everything else. But but honestly, it was after the game when all the drama really started to kick in. Let's dissect that a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Doucouré went to the Liverpool sidelines, the fans, and don't know what he said, don't know what he gestured, just gave him probably a, that's right, like, I don't know, this is our house type thing. And Curtis Jones said, what are you doing? Why are you, like, hey, that's crazy. And this is captain material, Chad. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm like, that's my dog. Okay, team's going to ride or die with him because he has everyone's back. Red card to Curtis, love it. Have it. Do it. he could do that over and over again, and I wouldn't be mad at it.
Sure.
You know, weird headlines coming out saying, why didn't Trent have his back? I thought that was pretty bizarre. Like, I think at that point, it's like, okay, like, not everyone is going to go get a red card in this situation. Like, no one wants to go get a red card in that situation, but if it had to be anyone, I'm glad it was Curtis. I'm glad it was our homegrown talent, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad it was someone that was substitutable as well. Like a rotation player, right? So kind of the best of both worlds. But the real shocker, I think, still is the Arnie Slot red card.
Well, I'm kind of confused on that one now because, one, just what resulted, what he said or what he did to really warrant a red card. But then, two, we saw him on the sideline at the weekend against Wolves, and I thought he got a red on the day, so I thought he should have been out. But then now it's like he has time to release a statement back to the PGMOL or someone, and maybe then gets a game ban or not. I don't understand it now. But the whole like afters was just like, again, that just derby kind of mindset of, you know, sticking one to the opposing fans. And, you know, good on Curtis Jones to stick up for his fans, his club, and kind of go in just guns blazing. Like, you love to see that. Anyone on their team would love to see, you know, a player stick up for their club. And, you know, I know it was a last minute winner and had some controversy around it, but to go in and just, you know, with no real support around him. It wasn't like he knew he had guys behind him to back him up. He just went in and he was going to take it however it came. And he did. I think that's cool. You know, I think I know Doucouré got a red anyway, but you know, if the Premier League wants to now get like serious about celebration, you know, being too much or too, antagonizing or whatever criteria they're looking at now, like I think that's clearly now this is where you step in, right? And whether that's a fine or additional game ban, I don't know what it is, but you know, if you're going over and taunting the opposing fans, like I think that's kind of textbook of like the celebrations you don't want necessarily.
If you're trying to do this fair play game, that's perfect example of what you should not do, right?
Yeah.
As far as the Arnie Slot ban, the FA have yet to make a decision on the punishment. They make that punishment after the Michael Oliver official report. I don't know when that comes out. I looked that up today. It's not out yet. So until the FA makes a decision on the punishment, Slot's our touchline manager until that comes out, which is...
That seems crazy. Like,
I mean...
Was he shown a red in all that?
Yeah.
Then I feel like that should, because it's not the same for players, right? Where
It probably should.
Yeah, they don't have to wait for Michael Oliver's report to be like, oh, Curtis Jones is getting banned, Doucouré is getting banned. But like, I get manager's a little bit different role, but you might as well just leave it all in the same. You know, that's contextualized in that game, and he got a red card, so he's out. And now it's like I don't really mind if he's out there or not, but it just seems silly to have this window of like, you're not banned, but you could be banned, so still go out and coach. But yeah,
I swear he's going to get banned for one of the most important games of the season.
Probably.
Just...
Well, yeah, that could be part of it too, right? Of conveniently, it wasn't the Wolves game that he's going to get banned for, but then
City,
you have City coming up, well, Villa coming up, and then City coming up, and here it is, Monday night. Still haven't heard any words, so I feel like he's probably there for Villa. But then maybe conveniently, that City game, all of a sudden, FA's decided, or the report finally comes through. They're sending it by pigeon or something to get to the FA, I guess.
I'll be checking bank account statements that day. If he's banned from the City game. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, definitely wild outcome. He shook his hand. He told Oliver he sucked, and then red card came out. And honestly, the first time as I watched it live, I was like, yeah, all right. It was pretty aggressive. Watching it again, no slow-mo, no, it didn't look that bad.
It's not bad.
Come on, man. That's crazy. Slot to me, again, I don't know him personally. I don't know what he's like. I don't know how he talks. Just looking at him, judging the book by its cover, it doesn't come off to me like he's one of those types of guys who is just going to curse you out, say some out-of-pocket stuff. He probably told Oliver, you had a terrible day. Yeah. Not even kidding. That could be a Slot quote that he said to Oliver. And Oliver is such an egomaniac that can never be wrong. Red card.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be as simple as that. Because, we've all seen the, Arteta reactions and even Klopp reactions and Pep reactions over the years. And, those were... came off more aggressive, I guess you could say, than anything here. And short of him saying something like truly terrible,
I'm saying,
which I don't think he would do. And I think, if you don't want players to really criticize the ref, I think managers outside of the interviews and stuff should be able to kind of have a little bit more open, criticism of a call or the game in total I get that may not have been the exact time and place to do that because emotions are running high off of, that last, 10 minutes, I guess you could say, but, I feel like it's just weird now that there's this lag of, red card to waiting for the report to finding out if he's banned or not. And it's is that because the report has not been complete? So Oliver gets days to now think about this. And I wouldn't think they would give him that long, but then if they do, that opens up just the whole can of worms of if you want to go down the conspiracy of, City pays him extra to write a little different report, or, he just takes his time and kind of fashions a report the way he wants to, obviously make him look like the victim and everything. And I don't know. Weird. I wish they would just go straight by the book of, you're shown a red card here, you're out. That's just kind of it. You can appeal if you want, as the clubs do, but, not this waiting game now.
It had to have been a comment about just the way Oliver handled the game at the end, right? Because
it's fair.
If Slot's going to get a red card in that game, it's when the goal happens to, break even.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what Slot was mad about. That's on his team, right? He's mad at he's mad at his boys for not, that game was a atrocious defending game, is I think from start to finish. I mean, we're definitely lucky to get the draw out of it. Everton didn't show that much potential on the attack, but the way the first goal was in, that was, oh man, that was awful. But then I just think he just let him know, you're the reason why this all happened at the end of the game. Something like that to just make Michael Oliver just do his power trip. He's good at it. He's a great power tripper.
Yeah, you give him the opportunity and then, he'll put himself center stage. So here you go.
And then I'm just going to bust out the second Liverpool game too. Very sloppy second half. First half looked fine. Mm-hmm. There was even a moment where I thought we were going to go up 3-0. And then we kind of let the foot off the gas. I'm pretty sure second half, no shots on target with Wolves getting about 10. Cunha with a great goal. Yeah. Endo kind of came in and saved the day there. Robertson was just gassed by the end, and it was just one of those weird games. It was like, okay, we played two games in 5 days. Like, this is definitely one that we're happy to get a win with, but one I didn't feel great. Like, again, I hate watched that second half for sure. Yeah. I was not having a good time. So, you know, I know Arsenal's looking up and being like, wow, they just had a pretty shaky week against Everton and the Wolves. Calm your horses down. Like, let's be real here. Like, this team had a busy week. We're going to have another mid game this week too. Yeah. I think we go Wednesday.
Yeah,
you got
Bill on Wednesday. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of games in these weeks coming up. Best news is that Madrid and City get to really duke it out, and then we got to go against City on the weekend. So that's the good news there. You know, we didn't have Trent last game, so that's a little, makes me a little worried, but Connor Bradley, I think, did great. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, not playing in this Champions League knockout round right now and sitting back and watching. Oh, man, isn't it nice? Isn't it nice?
Yeah, could never be our teams, you know?
Man, it's just like, I'll say it again. I like this new format. I think you reward the teams at the top just how they're doing.
Yeah.
The difference is it doesn't feel like we're resting as much, which we're not, but it, you know, City isn't either.
Yeah, City just has, you know, additional pressure now, especially now having lost the first leg. You know, they really got to leave it all out there in the second leg, which is not the kind of game you want to come ahead of Liverpool, right? So, I like this format. It's made it more interesting and you know, more... I feel like I needed to watch the league phase more than I ever did like the group phase, because I feel like the group phase could just end so early for some teams.
Yeah, by games 4, 5, and 6, you're playing B squad if you need to.
Yeah. So it's been cool. But I mean, like you said, you know, Liverpool is a busy schedule and just kind of back-to-back-to-back here. I think if you're going to have games where you maybe stumble a little bit, take your foot off the gas, a game against Everton Wolves is the one to do it at. And you know, two good reminders of like, you got to kill the game before you even think about taking foot off or just like power all the way through. The gap is 7 points and, you know, no more games in hand, but 7 points is still 7 points. Like, that still takes one, Arsenal to do their job, and two, Liverpool to mess up a couple times here. So it's there, sure. Like, you know, it's not out of the question, but it's not a... I didn't see the draw against Everton and said, all right, here we go, you know.
Well, look who's crumbling now.
Yeah.
I mean, things can flop pretty quickly here, right? Villa, yeah. City, Newcastle. Luckily, almost 3 out of 3 of those teams are in a rut as well. Maybe City not as much, but definitely Castle. Great time to play Castle right now. Ashton Villa, you know, Villa. hit or miss with them. You never know what you're going to get. Out of all three of those teams, though, which one would I want to play the most right now? I don't know, man. Newcastle always steps it up a little. We bring it against City. That's the thing. Yeah. We so bring it against City. So that's going to be a great match. 2:23.
I think Sunday. City will be interesting. Like, even removing the Madrid game midweek for them, just they're a little bit like a not new look squad, but, you know, they've got some new pieces in there with their new defender and Marmoush. They're playing on the wing. Like, it'll be a little bit different, but I think that also is, you know, two, and then I think they got a new midfielder as well. So maybe 2 to 3 new pieces that are, you know, not fully up to speed to Pep's stringent, like, tactics and where you need to be, what you need to do. So should be interesting either way. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, Liverpool always bring it against City. And, Newcastle, I feel like... I don't know. They've cooled off a lot here recently.
to go back on the City new signings, though, the biggest thing that we got going for that matchup is their three signings, Nico Gonzalez, Marmoush, and it's Kusinov is the defender. They've never played against Liverpool.
Yeah.
They don't know what to expect. Yeah. So that's big, right? That's big. Most of the Liverpool squad, everyone knows what City has to... I mean, again, they don't know what those players bring, but it's City plays a certain style that you have to learn and grow to, and to not go against Liverpool ever and to see that for the first time, it could be one of those games where you're just like, wow, like Liverpool just came right out here.
I mean, if you're Liverpool, you just go watch what City did against Newcastle and you just say, okay, so just defend and then we'll be okay, because Newcastle clearly didn't.
Do you want to segue to that, or you want to?
You might as well, because...
Dude, Trippier.
Ah, what a day he had.
Was he trying to head the ball? Was he... What do you think was going through his mind right then when Marmoush was receiving the ball? He could have done anything else.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was trying to accomplish.
He must have thought he was like embodying like Dan Byrne and was that tall to try and jump and head that ball, because that was a big miss. Like, had he not jumped for that, he's right on Marmoush. He can defend that. He can foul him, something. I don't know anything, but
it was a 2-1, but still, like,
yeah,
that was too easy.
Way too easy. I mean, all of Marmoush's goals were far too easy. Like, even, you know, second one was maybe his most difficult, but even that just took a simple cutback against Trippier, and he was out and left plenty of room. You know, the third goal, he was just unmarked, what, like 10, 12 yards out? That's crazy.
when Newcastle came in with the halftime subs and Trippier was out, I was like, they have a chance now. And obviously that did not really happen, but yikes, that was bad. And Trippier hasn't really played much this season either, so this could be the nail in the coffin for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not the look you want, and
should have pulled a Kyle Walker, man.
Something, yeah, like just go get that bag and move on. But I mean, even beyond that, like, it just looked like Newcastle from front to back was not great. You know, Isak had maybe one good attempt, but beyond that, it was so quiet, and like their midfield just seemed to have disappeared. And I don't know, from the Newcastle, this is like the Newcastle that kind of started the season, but like that Newcastle had the excuse of injury, right? Where now this is most of your, if not all of your, kind of starting group, and you just didn't show up.
They had one shot on target and one completed dribble. Oof. The whole game.
Yikes, that is a terrible day.
Yeah. Rough, but anyway. Yeah. I hope City loses on the week, but let's talk Arsenal, because I got questions for you.
Things are getting interesting.
So, most of your starting 11 is injured. Most.
Well, the attacking side, at least.
Yeah. The attacking side. Mikel Mourinho playing the center forward role. Kai Havertz comes back. Are you putting Kai in the midfield, or are you keeping Mourinho up top? Honestly.
I would think Kai stays up top, because Mourinho is a little bit more, I think, defensively sound than Kai would be in the midfield. But, that's maybe just the Arsenal thing of, like, you're a midfielder, we're moving you up to striker now.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, obviously, you play the player to their strengths, but I thought we liked Havertz in the mid. I thought that's kind of where we saw his best type of style in gameplay, right?
I think, you know, with the proper striker in front of him, I think Arteta would play Havertz more in the mid, but he would probably still play fairly high and almost operate like a, you know, second striker, second attacking mid. But we just haven't really had the option. And so, you know, Havertz occupies that striker's role and it works because he still, you know, drops back and helps and, you know, helps to apply the pressure and with Odegaard. So, yeah, big miss for Kai to now be out the rest of the season, you know, counting down the days until Saka can get back out there and Martinelli.
Yeah, so what hamstring tear on Kai Havertz, but did they ever release a video or the incident and how it happened or anything like that?
I didn't see any video. I saw some reports that it was just like, you know, random training session in their Dubai trip and he just like reached his leg out to stop a ball and that was like all it took. So, you know, a little bit of the freak accident, but this is, you know, again, back to Arteta's, one of his like weak points is just rotation. And like, sure, some of the season has just been down to not having availability for rotation, but, you know, Kai's been playing almost 90 minutes every single game. So you're putting a lot of miles on those legs and yeah. And a lot of wear and tear, and, you know, unfortunate that it had to happen. But, you know, Saka was also a hamstring injury. Martinelli is also a hamstring injury. So it's not to like point fingers at Arteta, but more rotation could have potentially saved some of these, right? And if anything, hopefully that just signals the guys with the money that we need a little more depth, depth that Arteta can trust and will want to use. But yeah, we'll see how the summer goes. You know, didn't sign anyone in the winter window. But
happy about that?
I mean, to look back now, no, because obviously he could have signed any striker, and at least he'd have a, you know, an out-and-out striker forward. Right. But those winter windows, I feel like, are always so hard because the people you're probably looking at bringing in are one of the better players on that team, right? So they're going to ask an inflated price because you're taking a key piece from their team. So unless you're just willing to overpay or have some weird like structure to the payment to make it worthwhile, like, it's always hard. I feel like they should have looked harder into maybe some like loan option at least. Like, you know, Brighton loaned out Evan Ferguson to West Ham. Like, I don't know if he would be the dude, but push comes to shove, he's a kid that, you know, is trained to play striker and is playing striker and has done it, you know, a handful of times in the Premier League already. So
he's a body.
Something like that maybe would have been nice just to have. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't all that surprised when we didn't sign anyone. Now looking back, obviously it sucks even more, but you know, I guess it leaves the hopeful promise of like a big summer, but you know, I guess we'll find out how that goes. But yeah, anyway, for the game itself, you know, I think we're very lucky the game after all the Havertz injury came to be Leicester, because it's a team I think we could afford to kind of experiment and find something that worked and see what didn't work. Because, you know, if we came back into most of the table, I'd say it would have been a different game. Probably one that Arsenal would have lost. But yeah, this was the 4:30 a.m. game for me, so I didn't wake up for the first half. I got up for the second half, which I think was probably fine. First half was very quiet. Not a lot happened.
We did the same, even though we were 2 hours later. So I feel
like so I mean, it ended up okay, obviously, with Mourinho coming in. But I think it still signals that, you know, Arsenal will need to find goals from multiple areas on the pitch, because, you know, Mourinho is not a striker. He positioned well, just getting at the back post, but if a team notices he's doing that, they'll just make sure to guard him at the back post. And then, you know, now he's out of the game, right? So still some work to do. I think he's a great option to have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Glad to get the win, but you know, none of what I saw really helped me feel any better about not having like a proper striker or someone who's been playing striker up there. You know, the Nwaneri looked good, like he's willing to take people on, but again, he can't be the only one. So it'll be a weird period, I think. I think Sokka's supposed to get back like mid-March, and even then, you know, he's been out a while, so it could take him a while to get back up into total match fitness. Martinelli's probably a little bit sooner, because I think his is just more of a strain than a full-on tear, but I don't know. It's going to be a weird time. All I can ask is they keep putting the pressure on Liverpool, just so it's not a walk away with the league. You know, it's give the fans some hope.
It's not out of reach. It really isn't. Yeah. So, yeah, anything can happen. Yeah, that about ticks off my Arsenal box. Looking at the injury report, though, for every team, it's insane right now. Just down the list on who's injured, and it sucks. You know, winning titles is luck and not getting injured. And
look at Liverpool. That's the thing. I think it's, you know, this season, and I guess you could maybe couple previous seasons into it, is kind of signaling that, you know, you almost need to go that Chelsea route and just have like a huge team, right? Because you got your league play, you got probably two domestic cups, potentially European cups, like you got all these games, and then you sprinkle in any international tournaments, and even over the summer now they're doing, you know, the Club World Cup, and then you know, Gold Cup, Euros, World Cup. Like, these players are almost never getting an actual break now. So I think teams, I say this as like, I don't think Chelsea was planning it this way to have like all these players because of this, but I think teams will start to realize that you need to kind of have, you know, almost two full squads of 11 that you can rely on at least.
Yeah, an A squad and an A minus squad, right?
Yeah, basically you need, not only just for rotation, but like, assuming someone will get injured, whether it's at your club or, you know, away on international duty, which kind of sucks. Like, it's cool that some teams, like, you know, Arsenal in recent seasons have been such like a tight-knit squad, and, you know, you've seen the fruits of that labor, where they are all on the same page. They're all really tight. They all know who's going to be where, how they're playing. And like, when things click, it's looking really good. But unfortunately, that comes with all of them playing 90 minutes every single game, basically. And then here you are breaking down. So yeah, I don't know. I think it'll probably kind of be the next kind of change is, you know, in the high end football world, of just like big squads and, yeah, like an A and A minus team.
The Chelsea injury report, though, is not great for them right now. Nick Jackson, Fofana's been on there forever. Badiashile, Malagusto, Mudryk, Madueke. It's not great. It's not great. Yeah. But yeah, they do have compensation to back those guys up. Problem is, that team's not that great right now.
Yeah.
Like, I know we said A and A minus squad, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying, is Chelsea just kind of threw the darts at the board and said, like, you're young and you've scored a couple goals. You're quick. You know how to pass. You can tackle. Like, you need to have a little bit more forethought in your squad building, I think. Whereas Chelsea, I think, just saw that they're young. They have some level of pro play in them and, you know, signed them for 10 years. And, you know, this squad is certainly cooled off a lot from where they started this season. I don't know. Jumping into the game against Brighton, it almost kind of felt like those early Chelsea games with Palmer, where if he wasn't on the ball a lot, nothing was happening. And but here, like, not that he was on the ball a whole ton, but he's also cooled off. So now it's just like nothing is happening.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea's squad that they still put out there is a quality 11, but it, it had no synergy. Like, Brighton showed chemistry out there, and I don't know, Chelsea looked like a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
And it's Brighton. Brighton hasn't been, like, outstanding. Matoma, though, is he on the renaissance and making his most of his time right now? I feel like he's going to be gone out of there soon. Someone's going to come knocking for this dude.
Probably. I mean... Yeah, his I feel like his season's been a little bit slow to start, you know, not impressing as much as he did last season. But I mean, if this game's anything to go off of, you know, a perfect cushion down from Bergen, you know, to get that goal, and we love a keeper assist, so shout out to that. But even beyond that, he looks great. I think the only moment I saw, I mean, I just watched the highlights, but there's a chance for to get Minte his hat trick, and I think he probably should have looked for that pass, but he took the shot instead. But I feel like that's kind of okay. You know, if I'm coach and one guy can maybe get a hattie, or I'm seeing the confidence grow in Matoma, I'm probably leaning more towards Matoma.
It's 3-0 at that point. I mean, how upset are you at not getting a hat trick? You know, it's
yeah.
Welbeck is back. I think that's pretty key to their success. Mm-hmm. Definitely holds down the fort and playing the number 9. But yeah, Chelsea should have done a lot better. That's the key thing here. When Brighton was up 3-0 shortly after halftime, I definitely was shaking my head saying, okay, didn't see that come. That was Friday afternoon. I think I stopped watching after the 80 just because I was like, Chelsea's got nothing for me here. So
nothing.
Brutal. Brutal. How about another brutal game here, Chad? Tottenham Man U, the Crapico, as we like to call it.
Jesus. You said it right as I was thinking it. It was a snoozer. Like, geez Louise. I went into this thinking either A, they're both pretty terrible right now, so it's going to be like a shit show, or two, a great game, because they're both just at this weird, terrible kind of level right now, so it'll be sloppy but like entertaining. And it was just neither. It was just so lackluster.
Man United's bench outside of Lindelof were all teenagers. Come on, man. Never played a senior cap in the EPL. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I mean, I heard, you know, talk of some bug going through the camp, and that's why they ended up at this bench. But like, okay, but that feels.
But we got to pause. We just saw Marcus Rashford have a beautiful game with Aston Villa. I watched that game. I was interested. He was great.
Yeah.
We're seeing Antony. Getting man of the match, MVP, 2 games.
Yeah.
What's happening? We dogged on Antony for 2 years, and now he's out in Spain killing it. Now, I understand leagues are different, right?
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that big of a jump. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure his mental is way better.
Sure.
But why? Why go from Man U, where you are literally like begging them to leave, both of them? They go to a new team, and now Emery's like, I have a proper winger here who probably should have had a goal and is lucky to, I think, not win that game. I mean, outside of Rashford, I think Villa should have been a lot better. And then the Antony thing is just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I think probably points to probably some tactical issues, you know, for both of those players, primarily being wingers. You know, it's under Ten Hag and Amorim now. I think they don't utilize like a proper winger that well. But then also just like, there's got to be something a little bit rotten within that changing room, that staffing. I don't know, something where it's like players are not even mentally kind of like engaged with this club, this team, and how they need to play.
It's probably rats running around. Like, let's
probably rats in the food. But like, it was just silly though, because yeah, you have a bench that like you weren't ever really planning on utilizing, right? Because they're all kids. They all have zero Premier League minutes. But I don't know. I think at a certain point, I watched Man U drive down to the final third, either waste a shot from distance or have no idea what to do, give the ball up and, you know, watch Tottenham run back the other way. Over and over and over again, that happened. And you wait until the 90th minute to sub in one kid. For what? Like,
for what?
At a certain point, you got to think these kids, they might be nervous. They might be shitting bricks. They're so nervous to get out there and play. But if I'm one of those kids, I'm on the bench, you sub me in, I'm going to try and like prove something, right? I'm going to try and do anything. And that may have just been enough to, you know, if not them score, like open up some weird hole or someone find a way, like, but to wait till the 90th minute, like you're watching the same game we are. You have even more info than we do, and you're just letting it happen. It was just United is just, I don't know, it's so much more of the dumps than even Tottenham seems to be. Like, it's crazy.
That was an awesome rant, Chad. That was awesome. Couldn't agree more. Seeing Casemiro out there, you know, playing the full 90 was mind-boggling, right? Yeah. You know, losing Diallo for the rest of the season is
hurts.
Probably as painful as it could be, because he was their definitely their bright light on the team for this season. Yeah, you're down 1-0. The season for you is washed. It would be crazy if you get relegated. You shouldn't be. Yeah. Even no matter how bad you play, there's teams beneath you that are playing worse. Even though there's not too many of them. Dude, go five youngins. If this starting 11 can't get it done in the first 45, against a Tottenham team that coming back from injury, right? But look at their back line. It's their true only starter back there is Porro. Vicario coming back too is huge for them. But huge, no one would have been mad at Amorim if he made five teenage substitutes within that second half in the first 20 minutes and they lose 5-0.
Because, you look at the players that were out there, they were doing nothing. You put out a 17, 18, 19-year-old, whatever it is.
Let it rip.
Let it rip. You get a couple good passes and maybe open something up, maybe at least get some shots going. Fans are going to love you. They understand, you know, the level that you're bringing in compared to a more experienced player, but you've seen what the experienced players are doing, and it's nothing. And you know, even a few times that, you know, Bruno Fernandes was getting, like, really fed up with his team, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not Bruno's huge biggest fan, but I feel him on this, because it's like, what are we doing? Or just doing that same thing of driving down, having no idea. And, you know, I do think Bruno is kind of wasted on the wing in this team. I think he does need to play more central.
Yeah, definitely.
So again, that's tactical, but like, it's just, you might as well, you know, if you're really worried about relegation, you're 12 points clear of it. So one down against Tottenham, throw the kids out. Either you lose, you get a draw, maybe you get a win, you know, but maybe you find some diamond in the rough there where, you know, Miles Lewis-Skelly comes into the Arsenal side and like, yeah, he had promise coming up through the ranks, but like, no one expected him to come in and now just be starting games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown that he can do it. And, you know, maybe someone on that bench is that for United. I think you just gotta go for it sometimes. Why not? Like,
this
was like, you saw Garnacho waste a golden opportunity earlier. You know, Hoyland and Xerxes, I think they said, have scored like four times together this season. Like, they're not doing enough. The kid they subbed in, he just scored a hat trick for like the U18s or something over the weekend, they said. So like, cool, he's probably feeling pretty confident. Get him in there. I don't know. I don't want to tell United how to do their business, but
this was just the showing of just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? What's this all about? And so,
all that to say, I guess, like, are they better off? Post Ten Hag, is Amorim the guy, or are you better just following Ten Hag? You know, just based off of this season, Ten Hag was there for 9 games, won 3, drew 2, lost 4. Amorim's been there for 14 games, won 4, drawn 2, lost 8. In the first 14 games amongst recent United head coaches, Amorim's collected 14 points. Ten Hag in his first 14, 26 points. And that's Ten Hag being number 2 on that list, and Amorim 7th. Like, I don't think Ten Hag was great. We saw them get destroyed under Ten Hag. We saw them have no real identity and tactically do some stupid things. But, like, is this guy the one where every interview he's saying, like, yeah, we're just not good enough. We don't got
crazy,
it. Like,
dude. That's pretty crazy.
And then it's just like getting cringier now where he's saying like, yeah, Tottenham's been struggling, but they're not a big club like us. And like, look, I love the Tottenham banter, but like, that's not helping you look any better when you know, Postecoglou is, yeah, I've been through this shit with all these injuries and I'm still here and I just beat you and... You know, you're the big club here, and
great banter. It's great. I think Ange's right too in terms of like how many injuries he's had has, of course, derailed their season. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
Does he play one way and get absolutely smoked by it if you find the way to break it? Yes, he does. That's his flaw, right? Injury's not his flaw. The problem with Amorim is, dude. No, does not instill any confidence in his team to go out there and even have a fighting chance. He folds 3 games ahead of where they're even like ready to play. He's looking down the schedule and telling his team, we're going to lose this game, and this game. Just be ready for it. And that's wild. It's wild. Yeah. And, you know, he says this team isn't his. Like, you know, these aren't my players. Like, I need a system. Okay. That's a terrible coach, right?
Yeah.
You should not be saying that publicly. You could think it. All you want.
Oh, yeah.
All you want, which just makes me think that he is going to be here next season. And I think he should. I think he should get a full, you know, season under his belt to really give him a true judgment here. I mean, he does have players that I'm sure he is, like, scratching his head at. Casemiro being the big one. Onana being second on that list for just making bonehead decision after bonehead decision. just wild stuff to be doing at the end of the game too. Dude, I try to put myself in a Man United fan's shoes and like, what do I want? What is the goal of this season at this point? It's all development. It's all development for the young guys.
Yeah.
With probably Bruno being the focal point of it, right? He's been there. Sure. He's the captain. He knows the ins and outs, but like, I don't know, man. I don't think Harry Maguire should be getting these minutes. I think you find a youngin to come in there, kind of like what Tottenham did, kind of like what you know Arsenal did. Find guys, even if it's not their position, just get them on the pitch.
Sure.
Find a way, even if you get your ass kicked, which happened to Tottenham. And we're going, that sucks that midfielder is playing center back, but like they have no choice. Man, you should kind of be thinking like that. They shouldn't have a choice. Maguire is not the long-term solution. He's not.
Yeah.
There's another players on this team that probably aren't. I mean, we're probably not going to see Garnacho on this team next year. I would be shocked if Xerxes on this team next year. Delit, he's probably not there either. Onana, not there either. I get it. You're paying those guys. They have to play. But at some point, you got to pick and choose these games where they aren't not your time. Like, look where we are in the standings. Like, you got to put some accountability on these players.
And I think for him to come out and be like so against Rashford because Rashford was like not down with the system or whatever, and you know, be willing to kind of single out a player and you know, say that's why I'm not playing him, to not in that kind of same vein be like, yeah, you know, we're not having a great season. It won't end well, but you know, here, yeah, I'm getting a promising young player some experience, some minutes. You know, I'm it, just like kind of frame it that way. Like it seems to be, yeah, he has some assurances beyond just his contract that he'll be there next year. Which, yeah, I think, like you said, is fair. Not a great start by any means, but sure, not his team. I don't think they're going to sign a whole new team in the summer, but, you know, he'll have to figure that out. But, yeah, at this point, you're safe, right? It would be catastrophe to drop 12 points and let someone else gain 12 points on you from relegation. And if it comes to that, you're out of the job anyway, right? So you might as well just tweak tactics, try things, try young players. You know, I don't know. Now's your time to kind of experiment before getting into next season where it's like you almost will kind of have to come out of the gates firing on all cylinders, because if you start next season like this, they're not keeping you around.
The fans are going to lose their minds.
Yeah. And I think if you communicate that to fans of like, this is where we're at, we're trying things, we're trying players, we're doing, you know, whatever. Like, I think most of them would be on board with that. Like you said, sure. It was like, oh, cool. Yeah. We're getting a little bit that next generation ready to go, because we know there's these like aging parts of our squad. Yeah. Maguire. Still got Johnny Evans on the bankroll, right? Like, let that guy just retire in peace. You know, Casemiro, we thought was leaving, but he rose from the dead into winter. He won't be happy about that. But man, you know, I think it's a shame Garnacho will go. I think he has a lot of promise still, but I just don't think Amorim likes to utilize wingers like that. He's much more the wingback kind of vibe, and you know, Dallow looks good as a wingback. Mm-hmm. Mazraoui, I think, is okay enough as like a wingback kind of option. But I don't know. It's a little bit the same as, you know, our critiques with Ainge is like you have to kind of sometimes build your tactics to the players you have. And he hasn't. So I don't know. I'm here for it. I like seeing United do bad things.
They want to do it. They want to let Bournemouth and Forest be top five? Hell yeah.
Dude, hell yeah. This is a great like top 10 right now. It looks incredible.
You know what I find really funny right now is watching Scott, Zinedine, Zidane, McTominay absolutely dribbling past everyone in Serie A. And just, okay, so like these pieces of Man United that have just been slowly being let go are just now, I don't want to say blossoming, but standing out.
Yeah.
Right? And I know the magnifying glass will be on them because they were former Man United players. That's fine. But they're not shitty highlights.
No.
I'm seeing good stuff out of it. And I don't know, it's just ironic and funny to me because I wanted Tottenham to win this game just so more chaos could happen, because we all like Tottenham is, we know what Tottenham is. I still don't think we know what Man United is at this point, and it could just get worse and worse and worse. However, if you bring out those teenagers and let them play, like, I'll be happy for you. I really will.
And that's an easy excuse too, right? Oh, if things so don't go well in that game, it's like, yeah, well, we were playing the kids and you know, getting them experience, getting them ready for next season, sort of thing. Like,
easy scapegoat.
You know, it's that easy. And
money. You play them and their price tag goes up if they play well.
Yeah, that too. You know, it's if you need to like build your whole team, you're gonna have to sell some key components. And if other teams are watching like this United and the stars are gonna have to try and sell here, you're not getting anything for
them. Who are they buying?
Yeah.
Outside of Bruno, which you're not selling.
Not selling Bruno. Maynou, I think, is your next you know, hot ticket, and they would be incredibly stupid to sell him.
He might want out.
He could want out, but you know, if he doesn't, I think those two for sure you keep.
Yep.
Dallow, I think you keep. He's
utility
kind of locked locked down his role in the squad. Yeah. Everyone else?
I think Hoyland. I think Hoyland is still so young, and strikers are limited, right?
Like,
strikers are expensive and limited, so that's one. I think you just pocket because you don't know what's going to come out of him yet. But
yeah,
yeah. Everyone else, oof, yikes,
yikes.
We got a couple more games, Chad. I don't know if you want how deep you want to get into those. I think we definitely did the fun ones. Bournemouth Southampton, pretty straightforward, 3-1. Saw that coming. Fulham Forest, interesting. Forest, I think we both kind of saw this coming. A little rut, a little bit of I don't know, just mid-season lulls, right? I mean, they're down to what now? Are they fourth or are they still sitting third?
They're still third. Still got 3 points on City, so.
But losing two out of three, right?
But yeah, just because they scored the 7 a couple weeks ago did not mean they were going to start lighting up the scoreboard. You know, it's there's still a very much a one, maybe two goal team.
Right.
You know, just I keep looking at Chris Wood for fantasy reasons, and yes, he's scoring consistently, but it's often off of just like one shot, and that's it. So,
can you believe the goal he scored this weekend? It was like
it was great.
It was watching like a 6'4" giant turn in slow motion and somehow kick the ball just hard enough. Like, kicks it one less power, one more power, and that is not going in. And it's something weak foot and everything. Shocked that. Shocked. That was a wild goal coming from a big man. So kudos.
Yeah. But I think Fulham looks pretty good. I think, you know, for a team that we've seen kind of be a little wishy-washy. This is, I think, one of their better showings. I felt like everyone was kind of on it, ready to play. I think your biggest miss might have just been Anthony Robinson not feeling like he was fully utilized, but that's great if now you're finding a way to win without him. So
open him up later. Calvin Bassey, told you long. I was like, keep your eye on him.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on him.
Yeah.
He's coming alive. The West Ham game, ah, man. I don't know. I watched a little bit of it. I got pretty bored. Brentford, of course, was outside the Man U Tottenham game. This was second on the snooze fest. Just
sure.
And but this one, I kind of expected it. Just like two teams that just offensively have been kind of weak lately. Yeah, nothing too crazy here, to be honest. But Brentford got another win. Still hanging around. Are they sitting 10th right now? I think they're 10th.
11th.
11th, okay. So, yeah, hanging, right? Hanging. That's probably where I expect them to be as we finish out the season. The Crystal Palace game, though, with Everton. I had Palace winning. Everton.
Did you see the controversy?
Which one?
Here. On Lerma's goal, they said the ball went out of play.
No.
So it's kicked in from a corner, and the line ref says it went out of play, so then VAR goes back to check it. But lo and behold, VAR does not have the proper angles to dissect this as they need to, so they don't have enough evidence to overturn it or agree with it, so they just can't do anything, really. I don't know. It's one of those where, like, it certainly starts to kind of curve out towards the end line, but for you to say it's fully over, I don't know. And that was fairly early on. That could have swung the tide a little bit, I think. But yeah, you know, Everton, Beto, he's looking great. This weird, like, calm confidence once he gets on the ball, like, and kind of enters the box with it. Like, he did the same against Liverpool. He did the same kind of goal here, where it's just, like, he looks a little bit out of control, but it's a weird, like, slow-mo confidence, place the ball where it needs to be.
Very, I mean, he's super lanky, but it's like baby giraffe type of style of playing, right? The goal he scored with his left foot. or not, it was, I think it was his left foot. Like, I was like, they didn't save that? Yeah. I was like, oh man, it looked like he barely kicked it and like somehow chipped away. All right, Beto, got my eyes on you. Yeah, Everton, man, their back line. It's almost like about time, right?
Yeah.
We commented on this last year from what I remember, because I remember a couple teams looking at Branthwaite and definitely eyeing him and seeing his ability. I think Tottenham was a team that was going to maybe come running for him. But yeah, I mean, Tarkowski and him, man, two clones. You got two clones. It's like Burnley Bros all over again.
For sure.
So it's definitely something nice to have for Moyes and to have Tarkowski as your veteran center back. God, I want to see this guy play either international or on a good team eventually. He's getting close to aging out. Father Time is knocking. Yep. Ben Mee is gone. Yep. And he's just a couple years older. And I think Tarkowski is probably the most underrated center back in the league. And not just by stats. What tells us is the blocks. This guy's blocking everything for years. Like, why is he not getting the big money clubs coming?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we're in a position where, we see the stats every week because we do it for fantasy. And his blocks are always crazy. His clearances are crazy. I guess maybe the thing holding him back from top teams would be maybe his passing. But in recent weeks, we've seen him pass that long ball up to the forward and they score off of it, right? So I think he has enough of that. I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't get looked at by some bigger clubs, you know. He's been in and around the Premier League for so long and under, you know, great defensive managers like your Sean Dyche, like your Moyes, you know, these he's a guy that's a rock back there, and you can always rely on him. And
never hurt.
Never hurt. He even got up there and, you know, got the tying goal against Liverpool. Like, he gets some headed goals every now and then. Like, I think he's a good enough player to be certainly off of Everton at this point. You know, if Bournemouth kind of keeps this trajectory, I'd like to see them kind of go for him. I think bringing in some experience back there, like Tarkowski, could go a long way for their defense. Mm-hmm. I would say Chelsea, but I don't want to see him like be a part of that mess, really. So
he'd be the captain of that club right away.
Yeah,
he would slide in pretty nicely. Sure.
And even, you know, at like a Forest, if they're going to continue and fight up top, like, I know their backline is pretty solid these days, but I think if you can have Tarkowski as an option there too, I think that would be pretty solid. But
so even
like a Villa, like, you know, Mings is not what he used to be. I'd say Pau Torres hasn't really impressed me from what I've seen. I don't know. I think there's certainly options up the table, and I guess down the table if you want to go to United, but, you know.
If Liverpool don't get Virgil back and Konate has rumors to PSG, love to have you. Check out this stat, Chad. Last season, the clearance leaders were Anderson, 202, Tarkowski, 186, Murillo, 185, Kilman, 179. Okay, we have 13 games left in this season. The leader right now is Tarkowski with 161.
Oof.
13 games left, 161. And last year he had 186. He's 25 clearances away with 13 games left from passing that tally. I'm kind of shocked by this just because why are clearances so heavy right now? Like, why?
Yeah. I think part of it is you know, under Sean Dyche, it was a little bit more like no nonsense back there. I just clear it out. And then just kind of being where Everton was, fighting at the bottom for a while there, I think it was a little bit more of just like get the ball away. But I mean, still, he's him and Branthwaite, you know, are putting up big clearance numbers game after game. I don't know. I mean,
I think possession seems to be key, right? So maybe we're not seeing that many effective clearances. And I'll give you just reference here. In 2019-2020, Tarkowski led the league in clearances with 200. Go back 2 years prior, Shane Duffy led the league in clearances with 327.
Oh my God. That's a wild number.
Go back 1 year prior, Ben Mee at number two with 300, Steve Cook with 351. Go back 1 year prior, Ashley Williams with 314. So possession has, oh my God, Chad, 2014-2015, Jason Shackley, 436. This is crazy. So it just goes to show how much the back line you need to be able to possess in order to be not only a successful club, just to be a club. You go back 10 years ago, 430 is the leader on here. This is
wow.
Oh my God. Chad. At number three in 2007. God, I always botch his first name. Vidic of Man U. 544. That's number three. Number one, Martin Lorsen from Denmark. 739 clearances.
That's
evolution of the game.
Yeah, I mean, there it is right there. You know, it's... We think, you know, some of these bottom table teams are just, yeah, like, no nonsense, clear the ball out. But clearly, it's not that. It maybe by today's standards, it is a little bit still, but, you know, not in the same way that it used to be, clearly. And, wow, I didn't expect it to...
700.
I didn't expect it to double Tarkowski's numbers, let alone beyond that.
Four times it. That's crazy. Yeah. 700. That would have been the fantasy GOAT that year.
Could you imagine?
Wow. All right.
He doesn't need to do anything else. Just the clearances is enough.
700. That's 350 points just in clearances. I don't think we've ever seen Haaland got like close to that.
Yeah.
Holy jeez. All right. Wow. I don't even know where we left off, but those stats were fascinating. Ipswich being down a man and still getting a goal against Villa. Kind of touched on that a little bit, the Rashford thing.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking, too. Again, Villa needs to be better if they're going to roll into Champions League right now. No Duran. Onana has been there, but not really. Love to see what Rashford's going to do in Champions League. That guy's got to be ecstatic he's out of this team.
I would think so. I think, you're not only removed from the shit show that is United, but I think this Villa team is probably pretty excited to have him there and have someone of his experience. So, it'll be interesting to see what he can do, you know, to kind of have a ticket to the top end of Champions League right now, right? Like,
for sure.
That's kind of crazy. So I think it's a great pickup. You know, we talked about it when that winter window was starting of, you know, some teams just throw out a loan offer. And, I'm glad a team did because I don't know that Rashford will become anything, but I think we saw more in this game than we had seen in a long time at United. So
absolutely. Yeah, definitely a different player from what we saw.
Yeah.
All right, should we get into nomination too?
Yeah.
I'll start with my teams here. Couple in mind, but I'm leaning one way just because they slowed me down and they've been the best team since the Moyes signing. It's gotta be Everton in my mind. They're just playing so different from call it 3 months ago. Right, people were walking into Everton saying easy win. Now you better be careful. You cannot turn off. They're defensively pretty sound right now. Beto is finding his way. I think as the warmer weather approaches, I think we'll see more goal scoring out of these bottom kind of mid table teams, and he's definitely someone to keep your eye on. So that's my my big one, and then I got to give a little shout out to Fulham. They've beaten Castle and Forest the last 2 weeks. But again, beating a top If you beat top four or take points off top four, you're slotted in. So
yeah, for sure.
But Everton had two games this week, and both were crucial to their success. So that's where I go.
Yeah, I got both of those. Shout out City for
sure.
You know, it more of a Newcastle collapse than a City dominance, but still to go up against, you know, what should be a top six competitor and put them away pretty handily at their place is always a good look. And then I'm giving a little credit to Arsenal, not that they deserve it, but just to like come out of the we don't have a striker situation and find a win. Yes, against Leicester, but you know, you had to do it. Odegaard looked great. Nunnery looked great. If we had to hold every game to a draw, I trust our back line and David Raya to do it, but glad to get a win here because obviously need the points if there's going to be any hope of catching Liverpool. But yeah, I think you're right on the money there with Everton. You know, it's I saw some comments of people giving them a hard time and their fans a hard time after the Liverpool game because, you know, they were treating it like their cup final and all this stuff. And one of the Everton fans responded and said, like, yeah, it was our cup final. We got nothing else going for us. So, like, we're taking this. It was like, fair enough. I get it.
Have your fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, they've looked so much better. I think Beto's taken that spot from Calvert-Lewin and see what they can do. And they got United next, so I think that will be just as spicy as any other game that could come against United these days. So.
Yeah, bright and early Saturday, but I'm definitely going to try to keep my eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
For player, you know, we saw some good stuff this week. I think Marmoush is probably the easiest one to pick. But you gotta give credit to the Everton back line, and just in terms of pure stat numbers, just for two games. I mean, between the two of them, we saw, I'm going to take a stab at it, at least 40 clearances, at least, probably 45.
Yeah.
A goal, a numerous amount of tackles and interceptions and blocks. They're kind of doing it all right now. You don't want to lose. If they lose one of those guys back there, my opinion about Everton would change pretty drastically, I think. But yeah, definitely shout outs to those guys. But I think Marmoush, the hat trick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely Marmoush. Just going to shout out again, Marino, just coming into a out of position, right? And, you know, a team that was looking for any sort of answer and you provided it twice. So shout outs. But yeah, Marmoush, hat trick in 33 minutes. Made Trippier look like a fool.
Goal of the week. Lots of goals this week.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot. That highlight of every goal was a long replay. But I do have a special place in my heart for one of these goals. The Cunha goal was excellent. Nice cut back, left foot banger. But the Matoma goal. I still have that post-it somewhere where I marked a Matoma goal from like September of 23.
Mm-hmm.
This one reminded me of that where it's like, okay, it's like, remember Sun's run? Not the same, obviously, but just fluid, simple, easy, made it look so easy. And gosh, I'm just a Matoma glazer. So it,
me too. Don't worry.
If Salah goes, please.
That's a
good
shout.
That'd be my wish list item if Salah goes.
It's fair.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to take down the ball so effortlessly, like he did, like pretty much at speed, and then have a touch around the defender and, you know, get the shot off cleanly is incredible skill. And something we haven't seen a lot from Matoma this year, so glad to finally see that. Definitely was a fan of that one. Cunha's goal. Mm-hmm. Tarkowski's goal, just for the context of it, really. Great banger. Hit, too. But
yeah.
I like Beto's goal just because he does look, like you said, like baby giraffe, just so out of control, doesn't know what he's doing, but somehow so calmly finishes these balls. But yeah, I think Matoma takes it. Just the skill there was next level compared to a lot of these other ones.
Weird context. Ever seen a camel run?
Maybe.
Well, Beto and him, really, it's pretty close. I just thought about this. Like, just, it's like you never know what way they're gonna go.
That's it. See, it keeps defenders, goalies guessing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's like uncontrolled athleticism. It shouldn't work, but it does. I don't know.
There you go.
It's a trippy one. It's a trippy one. All right, Chad. I think we nailed this one. Right on the dot. Hour 15 in.
Perf.
Oh, 13 games to go. We're almost there. Almost there. All right. As always, it's your boys at the Hooligans pitch. Peace.
Peace.